Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive. A message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best, and the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. If you call in to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages, the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, not a problem. Contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. Once again, I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you who are listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you today for this blessed day you have given us and this opportunity to come together once again. We thank you, Lord, for the assembling together of those who desire to hear the word of God and desire your truth. So, dear Lord, we ask for the presence of your spirit to be with us, to keep us, to reveal to us what thus says the Lord, to open our hearts, Lord God, and give us revelation knowledge. We thank you, Lord, for the understanding that you're going to impart unto us on this broadcast. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. Hey, on this broadcast. Yeah, I'm coming a little bit earlier today. And sometimes when you see me do this, you know, I have something I have to get into or do later on, but I still want to get the word of God out. Amen. So today we are on Renouncing Mormonism, Belief and Teaching on the Holy Spirit, Part 3. And what I want to open up with, and for those of you that have been following me in this series and dealing with the Mormonism, you know why I'm doing this. Once again, it is not to, quote, be attacking someone or a people. You have some people, you know, saying, you're not walking in love. We don't supposed to be talking about people. Well, I'm calling out the religion, the doctrine that is in darkness, that calls itself, quote, Christianity. And plus, I'm doing this because I want to show you guys how that the Word of God gives us the right to renounce anything that is, quote, attaching or trying to attach itself to us. Amen. That is ungodly. Okay. Now, I want to come to you from the Articles of Faith and Practice. And for those of you, hey, that are first-time listeners, one of the beautiful things about Blog Talk Radio is record our past broadcasts. So on this page that you're listening to me on, if you see the God's Word to Man, Jesus' Word to Midnight Cry, if you would see the logo, you should be able to scroll down and see past episodes we've already done. And I want to encourage you to go to the beginnings where you see titles, the church renouncing Mormonism, this and that. That's the beginning of the overall bulk of this series. And I encourage you to go back to the beginning and listen to that, because these are different sections. This is part three of this particular section that I'm dealing with today. But that's why I encourage people to go back to the beginning, because when you come in the middle or the end of something, you know, many times you ain't quite getting what the overall message is, okay? But what I explained to you guys is that, hey, I'm a member of the Church of Christ Alive Message. Me, along with others, come on the broadcast to give you the Word of God. And we are commissioned by the Lord Jesus to tell you of the work he's doing in the last days through the sending of the Elijah, the restitution, restoration of all things. Now, in saying that and talking to you guys about this work, the restitution, restoration that the Lord is doing through his angelic being, we do understand that when some of you would say, and hey, I'm not against you doing this because I would do it myself. Some of you would say, hey, I'm going to go look up the history of this church that these people, this church, Christ Alive, the message, what these people talking about, this work of restitution, restoration. And when you do, you'll look up and you'll see two things that really would, you know, kind of, at some of you, would kind of stick out at you, and you go, oh, my goodness. Oh, I got to quit listening to them. You would see Joseph Smith, and you would see on a website where it said that the Church of Christ Alive, the message, is connected, or a branch of the Latter-day Saints. So automatically, many of you would look and say, oh, my goodness, these folks are Mormons. They are Mormons. Oh, I got to quit listening to them. And I'm here through this to set the record straight. We're not Mormons, number one. Number two, Mormonism, hear me correctly, because I'm not going to talk low when I say this. Mormonism is not of God, period. It is an ungodly doctrine of darkness, okay? The third thing, as I come with what I'm going to come with today, Joseph Smith, at one point when he was humble, was used of God in dealing with this work of restitution, restoration. However, please listen to me closely, because I know some of you will hear Joseph Smith and boom, you are automatic turn off. Listen to me closely, because I'm not here to praise Joseph Smith. I got to give you the truth, okay? At one point, he was used by the Lord Jesus Christ. However, he did not stay on that right path. He got off into wrong areas, and that wrong area includes Mormonism. So the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, must renounce that evil that is connected to it, which is Mormonism. It must renounce the evil that Joseph Smith did. Hallelujah. We got to call it out. And as I say to you guys, we have done a poor job in the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, of doing that. An extremely poor job. Now, I want to get that clear. So I want to come to you and read from a verse from the Articles of Faith and Practice. And like I said, those of you first-time listeners, hey, listen to the past episodes on this thing, and you'll understand what I'm talking about, the Articles of Faith and Practice. These are 25 things that the Lord had inspired men to write, men on the temple lot. And this is of the foundation, too, that the church must be standing on. And as I shared with you guys one before, the Lord has showed me how that these Articles of Faith and Practice, these 25, give us the right to renounce Mormonism, the evil that tried to connect itself to us concerning the work of the restitution restoration. Now, like I said, as I get ready to go on, some of you listening say, well, you know, we don't talk about other churches and we don't, you know, okay, that's your preference. I'm going to call out the evil that's trying to connect itself or is connect itself to me. Now, you can sit there and not do it, okay, there and, quote, be quiet whenever you are approached by people say, hey, I heard that you're Mormons. And you, what you going to do? I have no comments. I don't talk about other people. I have no, no, that's not going to work. I'm sorry. That's not going to work. God requires us to renounce the evil. You understand that? We got to call it out as it is, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyhow, I'm going to go for, okay, now, here's what it says in the Article of Faith and Practice. Number three, it said, we believe, okay, now if I didn't go any further, we believe is expressing a unity of people. Not just, I believe will make it more personal, but it said, we believe, expressing a unity of people. We believe in the Holy Ghost, not Holy Ghosts. It is say we believe in one of the Holy Ghosts or one of the spirits. It said we believe in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, which searches the deep things of God, brings to our mind things which are past, reveal things to come, and is the medium by which we receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been stressing to you guys on this section of the series concerning the Mormonism belief and teaching on the Holy Spirit, that if you were to, and I've read to you guys different research, different things that they've said on their website, where that they portray that there is more than one Holy Spirit, more than one Holy Ghost. And to be honest with you, if you as the average Christian who's getting in the Word, if you were to read and see how they separate the Holy Ghost from the Spirit of God and all this, the Spirit of Christ and all that, you will be totally, here's the word, confused. They make it like it's more than one Holy Ghost, more than one Holy Spirit, okay? Amen. And so what I'm going to do, I want to read to you some of the things that they say from that, and this is my thing, to give you research on that and then come with scriptures. Now, if I don't get to the scriptures or whatever or complete the whole thing today, no problem. Coming back with part four. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to start off here. I want to start off with one that comes from the Institute for Religious Research. Now, understand this now. For those of you that want to jump on me and say, you're attacking people. We don't do that. That's not love. Well, there's other believers that has investigated and researched concerning the teaching of Mormonism. And not only that, all these other religions in cults, okay? Amen. See, people, well, here's a thing some of us Christians don't understand. You got to search and seek to see what is confronting you. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, if you didn't, some everybody come to you and say, hey, what we teach and believe is of God. So if they teach and believe in that you are worship, you should worship goats, okay? But you don't investigate what's being confronted to you. Because here's the thing. Some of you as Christians, you're trying to run a race away from stance, okay? And whenever you confront it, you're shrinking up, or you running away, or you running off, or you're blah, 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 fumbling at the mouth, or you saying stuff like, I don't have nothing to say. Or you saying, I'm not going to say nothing because it's not in love. Jude told us in the Bible, contend for the faith that once was delivered to the saints. But some of us don't want to contend, and I don't mean going around there being contentious and arguing and debating everybody, but some of us, we don't want to stand. We always play in the quiet role. I'm going to be quiet. Yeah, that's not going to cut the cheese, people. It's not going to cut it. You know, the devil loves that you be quiet. Because he know in that quietness, you're scared. Now, I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that you say something every single time. No, I'm not advocating that. But there are times that you got to stand, okay? You got to stand. When they're coming against you at your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you got to stand, okay? And say, hey, that ain't my Jesus. Instead of sitting up there saying, I'm not going to say nothing. But anyhow, the Institute for Religious Research, okay, who talks, and this is by Robert Bowman, Jr., okay, and talks to us about what the Mormons teach and believe about the Holy Ghost. And see, this is why it's important, because, see, some of you, and I have been guilty of this many times too, hear me on this, you've been told stuff by maybe even the Mormons at face value, and you just took it. You said, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? For example, you may have asked or talked to them and said, do you believe in God? Yes, we believe in God. Then you say, I'm going to go a little further. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Sure, we believe in Jesus Christ. So when they said those remarks, you just say, oh, okay, well, as long as you believe in God and in Jesus Christ, you're good. And you never investigate what kind of – do they believe in the same Jesus of the Bible? And in our case, the Bible, the Word of the Lord, and the Record of Nephi, do they believe in that same Jesus? Well, when you went to really investigate, you start finding out, what is this? This is not the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? You get what I'm saying? So here – Robert Bowman talks about the Mormon Church don't believe that the Holy Spirit can dwell in the hearts of man. And when I mean man, according to the word, the Holy Ghost dwells in the heart of the believer. And I will get to scriptures on that. If not on this broadcast today, it will be on part four, okay? And I'm going to read to you and his findings concerning the teaching of the Mormons on this particular subject. Here he says, earlier we quote Joseph Smith's statement in 1843, the Holy Ghost is a personage and a person cannot have the personage of the Holy Ghost in his heart, okay? This is how the statement reads in the diary of Joseph Smith kept for him in 1843 by William Richards. Years after Joseph's death, this statement appeared in the history of the church. I guess that's one of the Mormon books. rewritten as follow. And you'll find out, too, about the Mormon. They did a lot of changing and rewriting and all this kind of stuff, okay? One thing I say about Mormonism, too, it is purity, as the old folks say, purity confusion. I mean, purity to the rawest. But anyhow, in the history of the church, like I said, one of their books, rewritten as follows. The Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but it's a personage of spirit. Were it not so, the Holy Ghost could not dwell in us. This is how the statement appears in the Doctrine and Covenants, number 30, which was added to the Doctrine and Covenants in 1876. Like I told you, they do a lot of changing. Now, Joseph Smith and the Doctrine and Covenants, if this thing came from God, why are you changing it? Okay? Now, he goes on to say, there is an apparent discrepancy between these two versions of Joseph Smith's statement, okay? And he gives a statement, Joseph Smith's sermon at Ramus, Illinois, April 1843, where he said the Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, the Son also, but the Holy Ghost is a person, and a person cannot have the personage of the Holy Ghost in his heart. And this is what he quoted that Joseph Smith, of his diary in 1843, has said that the Holy Ghost cannot, a person cannot have the personage of the Holy Ghost in his heart. Then coming back on his the book, their book, History of the Church, on the Doctrine and the Covenants, which is something that is supposed to be given by Joseph Smith had, that this thing's supposed to be given to him by God, says the Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man, the Son also, but the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of spirit. Were it not so, the Holy Ghost could not dwell in us. Now, 1 minute, you know, it's like they got a record that Joseph Smith said the Holy Ghost, a person cannot have the personage of the Holy Ghost in his heart. Then the next minute they saying it's like the Holy Ghost can dwell in us. And see, like I said, they do a lot of changing as well. Okay, like when I get into the part of the series where there's the racism part, okay? Amen. Where one time, and I'm just going to throw this out here for a minute here, where that, you know, they would say black people couldn't be in the priesthood. They was cursed for their blackness and all that. We'll get to that another time. But now they all have this so-called change in that. Now, if that, and they claim that this is that before that black folks can't be in the priesthood, this is given by God. By God. It was given by God. Well, all of a sudden you changed it, okay? So stuff given by God, what gives you the right to change it? Anyhow, he goes on to say, Mormons reconcile these two doctrinal claims, not necessarily above two versions of Joseph's statement, by asserting that while the personage of the Holy Ghost cannot literally dwell in a human being's heart, he can dwell in their hearts figuratively through the influence of the Spirit, the light of Christ. There they go, separating the Holy Ghost from the Spirit. You hear that? Their book, Gospel Principles, for example, states regarding the Holy Ghost, he can be only in one place at a time. That's another reason why they say that the Holy Ghost cannot dwell into the hearts of men, because he can only be at one place at one time. Amen. This is what they're teaching, okay? He can be in only one place at a time, but his influence can be everywhere at the same time. What? Now, he can be in only one place at one time, but his influence can be everywhere at the same time. The Encyclopedia of Mormonism states, in a figurative sense, the Holy Ghost dwells in the hearts of the righteous saints of all dispensation. Say it once again, in a figurative sense, okay? Hallelujah. According to, and this is another one of their leaders here, according to Joseph Fielding Smith, there is a difference between the Holy Ghost, also called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, and the Comforter, who is a personage, and the other spirit, that is the light of Christ, which is an omnipresent influence. See, once again, they divide the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. They saying the Holy Ghost, okay, is not omnipresent. He can't be in the hearts of men, okay, because he can't be there more than one place at one time. But then they said this other spirit, the Spirit of Christ, has a omnipresent influence. Oh, yeah, I know some of you saying, wait a minute, Brother Nate, stop it. You're making my head hurt. Stop. I get it. I get it. Because, once again, it's a bunch of confusion with them, a whole bunch of confusion. You understand what I'm saying? They take one thing, they turn it this way, they twist it, they take the same thing, then they turn back and come back on it, and you be like, my goodness, would y'all make up your mind? What is this? Okay? What's going on with this? What y'all, you know, y'all up here talking about some the Holy Ghost, you know, you divide the Holy Ghost with the Spirit of God and all this stuff. What's going on? And see, once again, it's confusion, okay? Purity confusion. This is why I say to you guys, you know, we got to learn how to really search, okay? Hallelujah. We got to learn, and like I say, everybody, now once again, this is not something to tell you that everybody's out to deceive you. And some people honestly believe this because this is what they've been told, okay? This is what they've been taught, okay? And some of them really believe this. But even though it is so, it is deception, okay? Hallelujah. It's deception. It is not of God, okay? And we got to learn how to really seek things out, okay? Really search things out. Amen. We gotta learn how to do that, people. And quit people say, you know, about concerning God at face value. We got to learn to start investigating. Okay. You know, you got some Christians out there. I give it to them. They like a Columbo. I know some of y'all way younger than me don't know about the Columbo series thing. He was investigator, you know, murders and stuff. It was a TV series. But, yeah, still, one thing about it, Columbo, when you saw him, like when it first come on, somebody got killed, something like that, he didn't take everything at face value, okay? You know, even when people, if you look at some, even when the people were trying to get him to call it, oh, so-and-so, they did the murder, right? And he might say, well, it looks like that. But you could tell where he would talk. That, you know, he couldn't really just come out and say it, and he would go ahead and really investigate. So you got some Christians that really, really investigate. And I tip my hat to them, okay? I mean, even, listen, we come on this broadcast, ain't no doubt in my mind some been listening. It started to search us up. This is why I'm talking to you guys about this. And they have every right to. Like I said, I tip my hat to them. Because you got to be able to do this, okay? Now, in another article here called Crash Course Mormonism, Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit by Eric Johnson, who did his study concerning Mormonism. And he talks about the Encyclopedia of Mormonism. This is what it says. It says, in the Encyclopedia of Mormonism, he said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches that the Holy Ghost is a spirit man, a spirit son of God the Father. It is fundamental church doctrine that God is the Father of the spirits of all men and women, that Jesus is literally God's son, both in the spirit and in the flesh, and that the Holy Ghost is a personage of spirit, separate and distinct from both the Father and the Son. Okay? The Holy Ghost is the third member of the eternal Godhead and is identified also as the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, and a Comforter. This is in their Encyclopedia of Mormonism. Now, he goes on to say, and listen to this, official church manuals explain the Holy Ghost's personhood and purpose. Now, according to their book, Doctrine and Covenants, the Mormonism book that Joe Smith with the Doctrine and Covenants claim to get this from the Lord. He said the Holy Ghost is a member of the Godhead. Now, for many of us in the Christian community, we go, hey, they on target. Yeah, but keep listening. They said the Holy Ghost is a member of the Godhead. He is a personage of spirit. They go that word personage of spirit again. And that once again in their book Doctrine and Covenants, number 130, I guess number 130, verse 22, whatever, and number 20, verse 28. Then it goes on to say, he can be in only one place at a time, but his influence can be everywhere at the same time. Now, how is that? Okay? Please, how is that? He's when it comes to his presence, he can't be omnipresent. Now, if you have been listening to our, you know, part, I think it was part two, where I show you that there's only one Holy Ghost, one Spirit. God has one, there's one Spirit of God, okay? And if we know God to be omnipresent, that he can be in more than one place at one time, and he got one Spirit, then surely his Spirit, okay? Amen. But once again, and this is in their book, Gospel Principles, the Mormon's book, Gospel Principles, the Holy Ghost can only be in only one place at a time, but his influence can be everywhere at the same time. Now, I just took a pause for a minute. I'm just letting that sink in with you people. You know, as the older folks say, it's purity, confusion, straight up confusion, people. Amen. Straight up confusion. And see, if there's something, you know, my brother Lee, he said something very key back here a while ago, and he was right about that. If you are a believer that really believes in the word and wants to know the word, anything that's going to prompt you to go back and really, really study, first of all, go on missionary work and encounter these different religions and cults, and they come up saying stuff to you and ask you about stuff concerning the word that you can't answer. Now, that don't mean you're going to be able to answer everything, but there's some things we're supposed to be able to answer. And when you find out you can't answer, you're going to run home, you know. You're going to run home, okay, and get in that word. Amen? You're going to run home and get into it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read to you another article, which is entitled Mormonism and the Holy Ghost, Understanding Mormonism. I guess this article is talking about in getting you to understand Mormonism. And this is what it says. This is the first paragraph here. It says, Mormonism teaches that the Holy Ghost, also known as the Holy Spirit or Spirit, is the third member of the Godhead. The Holy Ghost is a spirit and does not have a body of flesh and bones like God the Father and Jesus Christ do. Although the Holy Ghost can only be in one location at a time, his influence can be felt everywhere. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to bear witness of Jesus Christ and of all things that are true. I'm just giving you another witness here. So they're saying that, and overall, what I'm looking at in this subject here is how that overall, they're saying that the Holy Ghost cannot dwell in the hearts of men because he's not omnipresent. He can influence all men, but he cannot be present, omnipresent in the hearts of men. That's what they're teaching. Amen. Now, like I told you, we'll be coming with scripture to show you where the Holy Ghost dwells in our heart. And I'm talking about believers now. Let's get this straight. Let's get that straight. The Spirit of God is not in every man. He's in the born-again believers. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, okay, when you accept him as Lord, the Holy Ghost comes into your heart. He comes to dwell in your heart. Comes to dwell in your spirit. This is something that Mormons don't understand. And another organization, I have to say, is tied to the Mormons too. That kind of I'm not going to say neck and neck have the same belief, but have some of the similar beliefs is Jehovah's Witness. Because the Jehovah's Witness teach that the Holy Ghost is an active force, that he's just a force. Amen. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, can't no spirit dwell in another person's spirit. They'll tell you that too. And here's the thing I'd say about Jehovah's Witnesses and some of the Mormons. They're some of the nicest people. So some of you may think, well, they're nice, brother. Nice don't get it, people. Now, we're supposed to be nice. Don't get me wrong. But nice, if nice was the thing, then Jesus would not have to have went to the cross and execute the plan of redemption. He said to enter the kingdom, in John chapter 3, you must be born again. He didn't say you must be nice or you must be, quote, a good person. Now, we know we need to be good, okay? But he's letting you know by your own merits, that's not going to get it in, okay? That's not going to get you in. He said you got to be born again, okay? And one of the main objectives that Satan does to try to work through man to get man to go on to destruction is to get them to reject really receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, if you ain't noticed as a Christian, Keith, go on missionary work or interview these different religions and you'll see what I'm talking about. The number one thing that they're going to attack Christianity on is about Christ, nothing else, okay? That's going to be the number one thing. They're going to attack his atonement, the shedding of the blood. They're going to attack his resurrection, his birth, or the plan of redemption. They got to see Satan is using men to try to make it think all was in vain or false, okay? Even the victory of Christ over the devil when he resurrected. Oh, the Satan doesn't want you to go around telling people that Jesus rose because it slaps him in the face every time. Why? Because it showed that he got whooped. When Jesus was crucified and died, you think Satan and his imps went over there going hooray and cheerleading and having a party, jumping around all of a sudden, whoop. He looks up and who did he see? So that party went from cheering to crying, okay? No. See, that what he tells his followers that he whooped Jesus. His followers don't know no better. He tell them that. And if they dare quote, say, wait, did Jesus whoop you? Voila, he putting the whooping on him. He can't stand that. Let one of his own imps or demons say, Jesus, Lord, and watch what he do to him. Well, rip them to pieces. Lord, help us. And too many of us as Christians, see what it is, too. We're caught up in the time now, people. I'm talking about, let me get straight with this. I'm talking about us as Christians. And so we don't study nothing. We don't get in the word on nothing like that. And so now, see, we are in it. Paul tells us these days are perilous times, dangerous, evil. Not only just people killing and doing all kinds, but also in doctrines that's being presented. Peter said that there were those that were teaching doctrines that will lead you to destruction. Spiritually, people, this is a serious business. It's not no, you know, just stroll around the park kind of thing. This is serious. Serious business. And you got people out there, you got some Christians out there, man, they ain't trying to learn nothing. Let me say this to you Christians that feel that way. You think because you got your foot in the front door, everything's good. Guess what? If you would read your Bible, I'm just going to talk to you, those of you that just know the Bible. If you read your Bible, once you come to the Lord, the next step is called enduring, okay? You hear that word, enduring, okay? When you get in a marathon race, even though they shoot the gun pow for you to go off and sound off, okay, just by you stepping in the race or just taking a couple steps don't mean that's it. You got to endure till you get to the finish line. You got to endure. When the gun go off pow, and you take two steps, and you can't say, oh, that's it. I'm good now. You ain't even made it to the finish line. You got to run the race. And some of you too laid back. You too laid back and you dependent on your own strength. You won't get in the word of God or nothing, and you think that, oh, the Lord's going to keep me. So you putting everything on the Lord. You ain't taking no responsibility for none. And I got a news flash for you. Just in case you ain't seen it written, this is WJESUS News, okay? I got a news flash for you. And the news flash is you're going to be held responsible for what you do in this day and time. Yeah, you. Why you up there putting everything on Jesus like you ain't got to do nothing? And some of you think, I don't have to get in the word and study. I don't have to know the word. Jesus is going to do. He's going to do. Do what? When he has told you to do. Jesus is not raising a bunch of lazy children. See, that would have hurt some of these households today. You didn't let little Jimmy and little Susie just be lazy, just most of all their teenage career. They didn't get up. You didn't have them clean up the house, doing nothing. They lay in the bed all day to whatever and get up and go out and do nothing, and eat, sleep, and what? Get up, amen. That's it. And now they grown, and you can't get them out the house because they won't get a job. They just sit around and lay around. And you with the parent one, I wonder what's wrong with them. I wonder what happened with it. Really? But see, the one thing about our Father, Jesus Christ, he's not raising a bunch of lazy kids. Now, he got some kids that want to be lazy, okay, but he ain't raising a bunch of lazy kids. Now, I know some of y'all don't want to hear that you, oh, Brother Nate, you're just, you know, you need to stop it. That's not love. This is truth, okay? And some of you finna get a reality check real soon because you're depending on your strength or you're saying God is going to handle everything. What you fail to understand is it's not to glorify the devil, but this is truth right here. Your enemy, Satan, is cunning, slick, and crafty. And he uses men that are the same way. And they will say stuff to you that would sound so real. And by you thinking it's so real, you'll get in it and later find out it's so evil that it will put you on the road of destruction before you know it. And you'll sit there all that time being in, and all of a sudden when you finally come to the truth, oh, I thought it was real. I thought this was really. You know, the Bible said there are some that's going to go to, you know, try to kill you or kill you thinking that they're doing God a service. Yeah. You're hearing it more and more now. People think, God had me doing it. God. They go rob a bank. The God had me to rob the bank for the... No. Lord is not leading you into sin. As I get ready to close, think about it. Look at the man, the man in Waco, Texas, Jim Jones, all them. And you wonder, how was they able to lead such people by saying, God, I'm God, or God is, you know, like, how were they able? I mean, not, this is not two or three people. Because the people personally didn't know God and didn't get to know God. Hallelujah. And people, you get to know God through just study the word, through prayer, and through walking out what he's getting. Glory. Our sister, Holy Ghost, thank you. But see, some of you are Christian don't want to do none of that. So like when people hear, like the Mormons come up and tell you, yes, we believe in Jesus. We believe in God. You go, oh, okay, well, that's good enough to me. They're my brothers and sisters. You don't investigate nothing. But see, when you start investigating, as I'm bringing before you guys now, you start to find out, this is kind of strange. This ain't the same Jesus I read in the Bible. This is a different Jesus. What is this? I thought they believe in Jesus. Yeah, they believe in a Mormon Jesus. Okay, that's what they believe in, a Mormon Jesus. They believe in a Mormon Holy Ghost. They believe in a Mormon God. Okay, period. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your blessed word today. We thank you for your spirit. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come on this broadcast. And Lord, I pray that those who have been listening, hallelujah, was blessed by this in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank God for all you listening. Lord, say the same. I'll be back Thursday with part four of this. Glory be to God. So may God get all the glory and honor. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.